Kia ora, welcome to episode 55 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Another great week for news from a galaxy far, far away, so let's jump in and talk Star Wars. First up, we're just shy of a week away from the Book of Boba Fett screening. Comes out on Disney Plus on December the 29th, of course. And the hype continues to build for this. There's been a couple of additional teasers released online on the official Star Wars YouTube channel, one called Ready and one called Authority. And just today, via People.com, People Magazine website, there has been a full 30-second scene which shows Boba Fett and Fennec Shan talking together while walking down a Tatooine city street. Very interesting to see how these all sort of things tie together. And it does tie into a recent interview that Robert Rodriguez, the showrunner for the Book of Boba Fett, that had with The Hollywood Reporter on HollywoodReporter.com, which is very interesting because when The Mandalorian came out and, you know, most recent season of that late last year, it was quite clear that a lot of the material that were being seen to build up the hype for the show was coming just from early episodes. For the Book of Boba Fett, Robert Rodriguez says that they're in fact only using material from the first half of the first episode, because even the second half of the first episode gives away too much about the Book of Boba Fett and where it's going to be going. That's very interesting, and there's a whole interview with Robert Rodriguez on The Hollywood Reporter. But bottom line is, coming up on just a week away from the Book of Boba Fett, seriously cool to see Temuera Morrison taking on this role to the extent that he is, and just can't wait. We've got to get through Christmas and a couple of other little bits and pieces before that crops up, but very, very close to being able to watch it.
Yeah, it's fun to know that all of these little glimpses are just from, you know, the first however many minutes of the first episode. It really does sort of get the anticipation going for just what kind of awesome reveals and sort of, you know, possible characters, what the main storyline plot thread is going to be for this one. Like, they've just got so much up their sleeve that we just don't even know. So it's the anticipation's really building to see what kind of exciting story elements.
I think this means that the first episode is going to cover a lot of ground. There's going to be a lot of exposition in terms of setting up where things are at and where things are going on Tatooine and in the bigger picture. I think we're going to cover a lot of ground, so that's going to be interesting in particular. The scene that's shown on People.com, the dialogue that's in it is in fact all of the dialogue we've had scattered through the teasers so far. So it gives us a little bit of a feel about how tightly they're pulling on the material for the teasers so far. They haven't gone very wide at all. It's all quite coming from a few narrow scenes.
I especially love going through the comments on the YouTube channel clips when they're being pulled out. You can just see by the tone of the comments, everyone is so excited for this. All the little touches, the sound effects they use in the trailers, the dialogue. Everyone is so excited for Temuera, you know, really fulfilling this role in a way that the fans have been wanting since, you know, 1980.
Well, each time we talk about this, I say that he's doing a great rendition of Boba Fett, and I think, you know, we've got a few hints historically about the character of Boba Fett, but not a lot of real character development. But I think the way Tim's going to portray it, I think he's really going to bring it to life in an interesting way that he can do quite naturally and quite consistently by putting a lot of, you know, his own self, his own interpretation of a bounty hunter into this role. So that a lot of the teasers that we've seen so far include, you know, dialogue like him talking about Jabba ruling with fear and he himself intending to rule with respect. All of that comes from the single walking down the street scene with Fennec Shand that we see on People.com. And it's really quite interesting to see that all sort of strung together into a little bit of a narrative, a little bit of exposition. And watching that scene, you can really get a feel for how Tim is going to play Boba Fett. In some ways, I really felt, I think he's the ideal person to represent Boba Fett. Looking forward to it. That's what we've got to look forward to in the immediate future. But of course, next year, 2022, we've also got Obi-Wan Kenobi and Andor coming through on Disney Plus, as well as Bad Batch, of course. And they have all been confirmed as being 2022 releases in a little bit of a promo specifically for everything that's coming up on Disney Plus. We knew that pretty much already, but it's nice to see those just locked in. Promo came out, we were kind of hoping maybe we'd see a tiny frame or two from Obi-Wan Kenobi or such like, but there is a promo for Disney Plus, has a bit of footage from the Book of Boba Fett, but it confirms Bad Batch, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor by way of logos alone and no additional material from that. But on the topic of Andor, which is going to be coming out next year, we're expecting about a July to September release, so second half of the year. 12 episodes in duration, don't forget, so longer than we're going to get for the Book of Boba Fett. But Stellan Skarsgård, who is working on it, an unnamed character at this point, has been recently interviewed by ScreenRant.com, and in that he specifically praises Tony Gilroy's writing on Star Wars Andor. Stellan Skarsgård has a history with Disney and Marvel in particular, but he's a very established and very interesting actor in his own right, and it's fun to sort of this notion that he's going to be involved in Star Wars Andor. And you know, we take his opinion and his thoughts on the writing and the story quite seriously. I think that's a commendation for the show in advance of its release, that someone of his reputation and experience thinks highly of the writing for Andor. Speaking to Screen Rant, he specifically says the writing is really good. It's the same writer that did Rogue One, of course we know that. And also to work with Diego Luna, who's an old friend, so I was excited by that. And then my character is, well, you'll see, it's fun to play because he has a lot of different faces to show. So no official word on what his character is going to be, or how it relates to the Rebel Alliance or Cassian Andor's character, but I think he's a great addition to the mix for the Andor show.
Yeah, I think with the cadence of the sort of teaser spots that are coming out for Book of Boba Fett, knowing that the next big live-action shows are coming out sort of, you know, a little bit further through 2022, I'm kind of resolved to know that we're not really going to get much in the way of trailers or footage until much, much closer, seeing how they're sort of leading up to Boba Fett. It wasn't that long ago that we got that full proper trailer for Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's quite
tight. Kind of just dropped out of nowhere. It was just prior to Disney Plus Day. And it's a little bit anxious waiting because we know that the actors are kind of finished, you know, they're just dropping hints with their interviews and things like that, sort of hoping that we would get, you know, a trailer. I know that, yeah, we're a little more than 6 months out if the rumors are true for the release date, so I'm not expecting to see too much of this. But it's really fun when you see the actors, you know, getting excited about the work that they've been able to do on a Star Wars project.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a really busy point from end of December through 2022 in its entirety. And as you say, we're probably going to have to get through Book of Boba Fett before we really start hearing a lot more additional detail about the other series. That's fine. When you break it down in terms of numbers, we're looking at 7 episodes for Book of Boba Fett, 12 episodes for Andor, a slightly smaller run for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and a slightly longer run for the animated series, The Bad Batch, compared to the Book of Boba Fett. All up, we're going to have Star Wars content for more than half of the year. You know, we have just fairly small gaps between each of these series as it's all strung together for 2022. So they're probably going to space out the publicity, space out the hype as we move along for each of those. And by the end of next year, we'll be hearing a lot more about the other series that are going to be thrown into the mix. Ahsoka and, of course, Acolyte. We'll be getting more information about those next year. But for now, we're going to be focusing on the Book of Boba Fett. But we've got one more podcast before it comes out technically. In the past, we've had online chats straight after each episode on our personal Twitch channel, Villa Varakina on Twitch. We'll probably do the similar thing again so that local fans can jump online into the text chat, and we'll just ramble about things we've watched, because it's just great to talk about an episode straight after it's been seen. And, you know, we know that we've had a little bit of interaction from other local Kiwi fans who have just watched it at that time, because it's still quite a good time in the evening to be able to have a chat after the episode has just screened.
Yeah, it keeps the chat away from traditional social media like Facebook and Twitter and that, which tends to be very spoilery. So for people that don't want to see that, we make sure that the SWNZ traditional social media channels always stay spoiler free for nearly a week to give everyone the chance to watch it. So that's why we enjoy jumping on with a Twitch stream, because that's kind of completely separate, so we can keep all the spoiler chat in one place.
Yeah, so Book of Boba Fett comes out on a Wednesday. That same night we'll be doing a Twitch chat, and we'll talk about that in the SWNZ Facebook group in advance of going live for that. And then each podcast that we do on Tuesdays will be nearly a full week after the screening of a Book of Boba Fett episode. So by that time, hopefully everyone will have had an opportunity to see it, and we'll be breaking it down as we move forward from late December, early January and onwards. Okay, let's move on to talk about video games. Today, which is the 21st of December in New Zealand, but the 20th of December in America, is the official 10th anniversary of Star Wars The Old Republic. We knew this was coming up. There has, you know, a few dates to sort of celebrate around this time of year in terms of early access and beta testing and so forth, but the 20th of December is the official anniversary, the official 10th anniversary of Star Wars The Old Republic. A lot of things happening in conjunction with that, and there is a big article up on the official Star Wars The Old Republic website. But there's a couple of new things that, well, I guess new levels of detail that I'm quite interested in particular about, and I think are kind of worth sharing if this is a game you're interested in or ever contemplated joining up with. There, as well as the new content in association with this 10th anniversary, which will be coming out in February now, they're doing a whole lot of back-end upgrades. And in this article on the official Star Wars The Old Republic website, the lead developer specifically says that they are eager to upgrade their visuals elsewhere in Star Wars The Old Republic, starting with Tython, Korriban, Hutta, and Ord Mantell. So those are the starting planets for the main classes in the game, main character classes. They'll be starting a process of upgrading the visual fidelity of our planets to bring them more in line with the amazing work the team has created in recent years. And the reason for that is because different blocks of content have been released at different points in time over the past 10 years, and some of the stuff that's been developed and crafted more recently has a lot more sort of design detail in terms of resolution and dimensionality and so forth. And they're going to go back to some of the early planets that were created more than 10 years ago and upgrade those, which I think is a really, really fun addition to the game, and I'm looking forward to that in particular.
I'm really nostalgic about those starting planets. As you create a character and start playing the storyline, you start on these planets, so you play through these ones with different classes, making different choices, but the area is very nostalgic, particularly the starting planets for the Jedi and Sith characters. I've spent a lot of time on that, so I'm really excited to see what sort of visual tweaks they might do to sort of amp up the graphics. It doesn't look terribly dated, but I know that compared to modern video games, you know, people come to expect a little bit more of a sort of realism with their graphics, so this will be really fun.
Yeah, and it's also fun. I mean, Tython has been in Star Wars The Old Republic since the beginning. It's the planet of the Jedi Academy and the Jedi Council at that point in Star Wars history. So it's super fun that Tython was referenced to the extent that it was in The Mandalorian. And I'm actually hoping that maybe Hutta, the home of the Hutt in Nar Shaddaa, will actually show up in some way, even if it's just by way of reference in the Book of Boba Fett, because that's quite possible. That lines up with what we're expecting to see from the Book of Boba Fett. In terms of other Star Wars games, though, we talked last week about Star Wars Eclipse, which is not going to be coming out for a few years yet, but that's not the only game that is currently in development. Ubisoft is developing an open world Star Wars game, and we know a little bit of information about that from recent Situations Vacant that have shown up over the past week. They are hiring. The game is in development at Massive Entertainment. Ubisoft is doing the groundwork. Ubisoft in Bucharest is one of the studios that's helping Massive Entertainment out with the development, and they are hiring a senior vehicle artist to work on the project. So not a lot of detail yet, but very solid movement on another Star Wars game, an open world Star Wars game, in fact, that will be coming via Ubisoft and Massive Entertainment, and that'll be something we'll be hearing more of next year, quite probably. Always fun to know that there are games in development in the pipeline, because, you know, the pipelines for these can be quite long, can be quite protracted. So we've talked about live action, we've talked about video games. Also want to just talk on the topic of comics just a shade as well, because a new Han Solo and Chewbacca comic from Marvel Comics has been announced on StarWars.com. This is going to be an ongoing series taking place prior to Episode 4, but subsequent to the events of Solo, A Star Wars Story, a time in Han Solo's life that has yet to be explored in the current canon continuity. In the first issue, Jabba the Hutt gives them what should be an easy job, steal something and bring it back to him, but the job turns out to be anything but easy, as everything that can go wrong promptly does. You can read more about this on StarWars.com. We'll put a link in association with this podcast. But I'm kind of excited about this because historically, very early expanded universe material did focus on the pre-Episode 4 life of Han Solo, and a lot of that content's been overridden, but I do enjoy the Han Solo adventures that take place before Episode 4, whether they're old canon or what's going to be new established canon coming from this comic, and I'm really looking forward to see where that goes, and it's interesting that it is an ongoing comic series. On the topic of comics, one question I'd just like to put to Star Wars comic fans out there is, what do you do to keep up to date with the comics? Are you a reader of single issues? Do you wait for trade paperbacks to come out? Or do you subscribe to one of the digital services? We're in fact been contemplating and discussing signing up with Comixology or Marvel Unlimited to try and keep up with comics just a little bit more, because it is quite a bit of work these days to really keep up with the comics as they're coming out. And it'd be interesting to know if anyone has any preferences in terms of either of those digital services, or if you're just sticking with the physical format these days. It's been quite a good week for product announcements and local store reports. quite a few things that have been announced via the Bring Home the Bounty campaign have already made their way up for pre-order locally, including the Vintage Collection Deluxe Boba Fett Tatooine version. This is a boxed deluxe figure in the 3.75-inch Vintage Collection scale. A very cool rendition of Boba Fett with a removable helmet. He is being priced at a deluxe level in this windowless box, which has left a few people sort of scratching their heads just a little bit, because the only things that really make it deluxe is the addition of a couple of beaten-up Stormtrooper helmets, as well as all his standard accessories. And the pricing is up a little bit because of this, but it is a very, very cool figure nonetheless. Toyko has it for $48 on pre-order, Mighty 8 for $57, and EB Games has it also at a similar price point. It'll actually be coming out once a series as well underway, I think close to the end of the series, unfortunately, but that is one cool figure that has been announced as part of the Bring Home the Bounty campaign that we're definitely going to be chasing. Also in the Vintage Collection to go with that deluxe Boba Fett is a 3.75-inch Fennec Shand action figure that's available through Mighty Ape at standard 3.75 TVC pricing. And stepping back to another series, The Mandalorian and Grogu on Maldo Christ with the Spiders in the Vintage Collection. This is on a bubble car, but it's a deluxe figure that's showing up at Toyko for $48 and EB Games for $49. Very exciting to see the recently announced Bo-Katan Premium Electronic Helmet, so Black Series 1-to-1 scale replica helmet, being made available through multiple retailers locally. All of them seem to have it priced at the $299 price point, including Mighty 8, which is a little bit higher than we've seen other Black Series helmets locally. Not quite sure on the reason for this. It doesn't appear to be too much more complex than a Boba Fett helmet. I don't know if that's just where Black Series helmets are going to be moving to. Either way, we're a fan of Star Wars Black Series helmets from Hasbro, and we'll be very likely getting this one for our collection. And I think it's fair to speculate that because of the way Hasbro tends to release repaints of their helmets, that we may be seeing other versions of other Night Owl characters, maybe Cosca Reeves, and maybe we'll even see this helmet repurposed as one or two Sabine paint jobs. That would make for really good display pieces if they went all out with that sort of paint job, and I'd be happy to pay that price point for that level of complexity in terms of paint apps, frankly.
Yeah, it's fun to see. I know that in the world of Star Wars, there are less sort of female character helmets out there, but I'm really excited to see Bo-Katan show up in this. We don't know how much of an involvement she will have in season 3 of The Mandalorian. Certainly, the end of season 2 left things in a little bit of an uncertain state, so I'm really hoping we see more of her in season 3. So this is a great addition to sort of the lineup of helmets from Hasbro, and I would love to see the Armorer. I know she wasn't a specifically maybe ongoing character, but she was certainly iconic, resonated a lot with fans. I really hope we see her released in the Hasbro Black Series helmet lineup.
There's a lot that I would love to see. The Armorer is definitely one. I'd love to see other Stormtrooper variants like an AT-AT driver or a TIE pilot, frankly. But so far, Hasbro has been leaning into the helmets that can be repurposed for different characters. So as much as I'd love to see an Armorer, I think that might be a shade too far. We've seen the Boba Fett helmet repainted model times. We've seen a couple of versions of the X-Wing helmets. Hopefully we'll see more of those. It'd be good to see a Rey version, for instance, at the price point we've seen those X-Wing helmets. But this Bo-Katan is a new style of helmet, and so far there's one off. So I guess it's not inconceivable that we'll see other variations, other helmets that we don't have similar versions of so far down the line. That would be really cool to keep the series going in that manner.
Particularly exciting to see a character helmet that has never been released by the premium costume and helmet makers.
Yeah, it doesn't come from an Ovos or Dunedin Nova or EFX or anything like that. Interesting to see Katie Sirkoff even tweeted about this as well, so the word's getting out there and she's excited about it as well. A couple of worthwhile Funko Pop figures to mention. I believe this was actually mentioned as part of the Bring Home the Bounty campaign last week, but a deluxe Jewel of the Fates Darth Maul Funko Pop vinyl figure has been announced and it is available for pre-order via Mighty Ape and other Funko retailers locally in New Zealand. This is another one of the series where you can buy multiple characters and they fit together to have a backdrop that creates a bit of a scene. So Darth Maul is going to come with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon to create an episode 1 scene. It's a smaller set than the Bounty Hunters, which we, to be honest, bemoaned a couple of times because they were very cool characters, but the price point meant that if you're going to collect the whole set of 7, it was really going to add up to make it an expensive display piece. But this Duel of the Fates scene is only going to have three characters. They are priced at $64, so the deluxe level for Funko Pops. But the three characters to make an episode one scene when it's all complete, and I presume we'll see those other two characters being released subsequently down the line in the near future. And also on the topic of Funko Pops, a very cool Cad Bane and Toto 360 pop vinyl figure available to order from all the local Funko retailers, including Mighty Ape locally. He was a convention exclusive. So that's quite a cool heavy-duty figure in some ways. He's got a bit of weight to him because he's got the full Cad Bane with a decent base with a little service droid standing next to him and his characteristic hat and so forth. And just to round out the store reports, we've been waiting eagerly to actually see product released with the Book of Boba Fett branding on it. We've got a few in the pipeline, a few that are available to pre-order. None of them are actually hitting retail or shipping just yet, or even for over the next couple of weeks. But a little bit out of the blue, EB Games have put forward quite a large listing of, in particular, Book of Boba Fett products spanning quite a few different product categories. And we'll be working our way through these in a little bit more detail on the SWNZ website shortly, but quite an extensive range, including random things like Toasty makers, dinner sets, Darth Vader glass stein, a waffle maker, apparel, a few t-shirts, including a very cool Book of Boba Fett throne room t-shirt, wallets, pins, hats, and notebooks up on EB Games. And like I say, we'll be looking at these more closely on SWNZ shortly.
I'm especially excited to see some of the electronic kitchen appliances like the Toasty Maker and the Waffle Maker. These are no sort of new additions to the range of Star Wars licensed products, but predominantly they are only sold in the US, which with the different voltage and the different sort of connector pins means that you can't really import them into New Zealand. So you just sort of admire them from afar. So I'm really excited to see EB Games bringing in some ones that work with the New Zealand pins and the voltage here. So if you've ever admired those waffle makers and things like that from overseas, it's definitely worth checking them out. There's a couple of them now in terms of the sort of the
previously EB Games had a Baby Yoda Grogu one, but yes, this Book of Boba Fett one, it's a Boba Fett helmet, isn't
yes,
it, that
yes,
it imprints onto the waffles.
Yeah, I think it looks a little cooler. It's got the sort of classic waffle print, yeah, but then with a big Boba Fett helmet right in the middle, so it's really, really cool.
And you can use it as a sandwich press as well. You can use it for a few different functions. So, yeah, check those out on the EB Games website, EB Games stores. And like I say, we'll be talking about them on SWNZ very shortly. And that's about it for today's installment. I guess we are done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week and every Tuesday. Don't forget, you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Kia ora, kia noho, homaru, thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki, may the Force be with you.